And we're holding on page, on the top page, Kuf Aleph. So we're in the middle of Ois Kuf Lamed Vav. We started talking about the Mishnah had said that a person has to be careful, lo yokel ademus roshay, that a person shouldn't act in a casual manner opposite the Shaar HaMizrach, the eastern gate of the Har HaBayis, because directly opposite the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and so that led the Gemara into a discussion about various things that a person has to be careful about as far as what direction he's going to the bathroom and what direction he's sleeping. Also, that's mainly discussed in the poskim in connection with this. It's really in the Gemara, it's really in the Masechta. In order not to be sleeping, in order not to be going to the bathroom in a way that's disrespectful to the Beis Mikdash or to the Shechinah. So then we learned last time that Rabbi Akiva had said he learned a number of dinim from Rabbi Yeshua, how Rabbi Yeshua went to the bathroom, and he learned a number of dinim from that. So now, continuing on this topic, one of the things we said that Rabbi Akiva learned from Rabbi Yeshua, is that you don't wipe with your right hand, only with your left hand. The Alter Rebbe holds, based on earlier poskim, that would only be if you're wiping barehanded. If you're wiping with something, then the Alter Rebbe says it doesn't matter. Anyway, so now the question is, if they might, the pants can be min el of a smile. Why, Tafta, should you not wipe with the right hand, only with the left hand? It's worth pointing out, I mean, Lahavdo, you have various other cultures in that part of the world also have the concept of wiping only with your left hand. In fact, in those cultures, you better be careful. In some of those parts of the world, if you offer your left hand to somebody for a handshake, they're going to be badly offended because it means you're offering them your dirty hand. But here, the Gemara is looking for a reason not to be told. So Amar Ravim Peshat Torda Nitna Miyamin. The reason is because the Torda was given with the right hand, versus Kaviyachol. Shenema Miyamino Esh Das Lomit. The pasuk says Hashem gave us the Torda, a Torda of fire from His right hand to them. So therefore, in connection with that, then we're not going to use our right hand for something filthy like that. Rabbi Babachana Amar Peshi Kroiva Lepeh. The reason is because it's close to the mouth in the sense that you use your most people are righties. Most people then use their right hand for eating and for various other things like that. So even though, of course, there are lots of things you use your right hand for, but we're focusing on the fact that you eat with it, and therefore that's more important. You want to keep it sanitary. Reb Shimon ben Lakish Amar Mesha Kosher Batfilin. Reb Lakish says the reason is because you tie tefillin on your arm with it. Now the tefillin themselves go on the left arm, and in that sense, so, for example, Marsha refers to a Gemara in Shabbos that says that's why when you're tying your shoes, anytime you have tying shoes or tying anything of clothing, you always tie the left first because the tefillin is tied on the right arm, on the left arm. But here we're talking about an action that's done in order to do that. So here we're also talking about an action. So therefore, the right hand is more important. The fact that you use it to do the maisa, putting on tefillin, and therefore that's a reason why not to wipe it. Rav Nachman Yitzchok of Mishnah Marav of Taimei Torah. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says the reason is because with your right hand you show the truth of the Torah. So Rashi mentions, the Rashi printed over here gives one explanation. The Rashi printed in the Gemara gives another one. One is Pashut, when you're reading from the Torah, you often point with your index finger to where you're leaning, and you lean in the Kodesh and Torah, and therefore, like you're pointing to them as you read. The explanation we have in front of us here in Rashi in Ein Yaakov is that you actually use your right hand to represent the sounds of the Torah as you're reading them. In fact, quite a number of the symbols of the Torah are actually derived from such hand motions. So you sometimes see when you have an inexpert Balkurda, sometimes you'll have somebody standing near there and making hand motions. But Rashi says apparently that it used to be that expert Balei Kriya would do that themselves when they're laning. They wouldn't just make with their voice, they would also make with their hands to accompany it. Rashi says, I actually saw Balei Kriya from Eretz Yisrael who do it that way. So therefore, that's the idea. In other words, you use your right hand to indicate the truth, and therefore that's a reason that it should be kept clean. So the Gemara says Ketanoi. A couple of those reasons are the same actually as a discussion of Tanoim on this. Rabbi Eliezer says the reason you shouldn't wipe with your right hand is because you eat with it. So that's the reason that Rabbi Baba Chana said, that's Kroi Velapeh. Rabbi Yeshua Omen Pnesha Kosevba. Rabbi Yeshua says, because you write with it, and particularly what kind of writing are we talking about? You write, Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, other such things, a righty would write them with his right hand. Rabbi Akiva Oimim, Peshamara, Bataima Torah, and Rabbi Akiva says because you indicate the Torah with it. So that would follow Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak's reason. So you have altogether five reasons. The post can point out, among these reasons, what about, now the Naftamina between some of these reasons is what about a lefty? So on the one hand, a lefty uses his left hand for most of these things. Maybe therefore he should be writing with his right hand. On the other hand, for example, if we're saying that because the Torah was given with Hashem's right hand, then maybe in that case, then it would be the right hand regardless as the one should be kept clean. So in practice, the poskim paskin that a lefty taka should, for that reason, if he's wiping barehanded, he taka should use his right hand and not his left. Either way, whichever hand it is, your non-dominant hand that you're using, the Shaloah Kodesh also adds, and the later poskim bring it, that since you also wrap the strap of the tefillin around the middle finger of your left hand, therefore, even with your left hand, you shouldn't use that finger when you're wiping. Again, we're talking according to the Alzadeva, barehanded, you should use the other four fingers on that hand, but not the middle finger. Ben Yehoyada also points out, when you think about it, another nafka minute between these reasons might be men versus women. Some of these reasons apply equally to men and women. For example, the fact that you eat with it, or the fact that Hashem gave us the Torah with it. On the other hand, for example, the one about indicating the truck, or the one about tying on tefillin, that's not relevant for women. Okay. Okay. The Gemara continue. Yeah, I mean, listen. Yeah, Michal Baschol also put on tefillin, but you know, we're talking about most women. The Gemara continues. Omer of Tanchum Bachani Loi Kolat Sanua Beves Hakise. If a person is sneistic in the bathroom, which means, in other words, he doesn't uncover more of his body than he needs to, and as the Gemara is going to say soon, he first sits down before he starts uncovering and massaging the area and whatever. Anyway, nitzel m'shloisha dvarim, he'll be saved from three things that could happen to him in the bathroom. Min ha'nechoshim, or min ha'akrabim, or min ha'mazikim. He's safe from snakes and scorpions, which tend to be in uninhabited areas such as bathrooms, and from mazikim, from shading. Now, how is that? Rashi explains, because he's theistic, therefore he also does things very quietly and very slowly and gently. So therefore, so the snakes and the scorpions are not provoked to harm him. They usually only will harm a person if he's making sudden jerky movements where they get scared of him. But like this, they don't bother. And the mazikim also have rachmanus on him. Marsha points out another point as well, that we learned before that a person, at least in the times of the Gemara, was accompanied wherever he went by Malachim, and then when he needs to go to the bathroom, then he says a special request to them to wait outside while he needs to do what he needs to do. So now what happens is, when a person is not sneistic, then why are the Malachim going to bother waiting around for him? So then he's exposed to danger from all these various things that you have in bathrooms. Mazikim also tend to hang out in bathrooms. On the other hand, if he's sneistic, then the Malach wants to be with him as much as possible. So even when the Malachim, rather in plural, are waiting outside, still they're still protecting him from out there that these things shouldn't harm him. And the Yesh Oimim, Achala Mosav, Miyoshav Molav, some say also a person who acts sneistic in the bathroom will have very calm, peaceful dreams. Mazikim won't give him scary dreams. Marashal says the same idea. In other words, since Mazikim are staying away from him, then therefore, bad dreams, one thing that can come is because Mazikim can start harassing a person at night. So like this, they'll leave him alone because the Malachim want to protect him. So the Gemara tells how who beis hakise dehavu b'Tveria. There was a certain bathroom in Tveria. Ki havu ayli beit trei afilu b'yamama. It was so dangerous because of mazikim that even if two people went together and even during the day, even though normally mazikim would only attack one person at a time, as we learned earlier in the Sechta, and even though usually they'll only attack by night and not by day, here by day, and even two people have a mitziki, still people were getting injured and harmed by these mazikim, by these shadim that were hanging out over there. But Rab Ami and Rab Asi have Eilim in Chad before day. Rab Ami and Rab Asi, who were the two Rosh Yeshiva in Tveria, they would go to this bathroom one at a time. They wouldn't go together. V'lo Mitzaki, and they weren't getting harmed. Omelohu Rabbanon. So the other Chacham asked them, Loim is the Pitu. Aren't you afraid of the Mazikim that are in this bathroom? Amilohu, Rab Ami and Rab Asi answered them, Anan Kabbalah Gamun. We have the Kabbalah. We've learned from our Rabbeim a Kabbalah, a tradition that we've received from our ancestors. Kabbalah, the Beis HaKisset, Tzni'usa U'Shtikusa. The Kabbalah, the proper way to act in the bathroom is to be tzniastic and to be quiet. And then, like we said, the mazikim don't harm a person, so that's what we're doing, and therefore we're doing. And by the way, they mention another Kabbalah, so that's the point. In other words, so Marsha points out, if they go individually, then it's more tzniastic, and it's also they're quiet, because there's nobody to talk to. If they go together, first of all, each one is seeing the other uncovered, so it's less tzniastic, and second of all, they're apt to talk with each other, and therefore you don't have quiet. So they also add, by the way, since we're talking about Kabbalahs that we have from our Rabbeim, Kabbalah di Isuri, what we receive from our Rabbeim is that if a person has Isurim coming on him, Shikusa, the proper thing is to be quiet, Umidi Rachmi, and to daven to Hashem for Rachmanus, rather than to complain about it. What's the connection between these two things? So first of all, Habona at the bottom of the page points out that they're kind of hinting to the idea. In other words, when everything's going normally for him, symbolized by going to the bathroom where his body is functioning as it should. And then there's the time when a person has Yisurim, when his body is not functioning as it should. So either way, the point is that he should, it's best to be quiet, right? He should act in a way that'll keep Mazikim away from him, and being that he acts in a theistic way, meaning that he's not looking to satisfy all of his tivus, and then stay away from sicha kala, from casual talk. And second of all, if he is sick, then also the proper thing is to be quiet and not complain to Hashem. One of the Mephoshim, I think Ben Yehoyada, points out that the connection is also that you shouldn't think Rav Ami and Rav Asi are saying that when a person is in a bathroom, they have to be absolutely silent. They can't make a sound. The same way as when a person has Yisurim, doesn't mean they have to be absolutely silent. This means they shouldn't be talking too much and complaining too much. The same way in the bathroom, if a person says, you know, a word here, a word there, or makes a noise, as the Gemara is going to say later on, that's not necessarily so bad. The Aruch, by the way, has a different explanation. The word Kabbalah over here, he says the word Kabbalah is also is related to an Aramaic word meaning a Kameya. So he says that what Rav Ami and Rav Asi are saying, as effective as a Kameya is for various kinds of illnesses, the same way the Kameya, the effective kind of thing for being safe in the bathroom, is Tzniyoso Shikosa, and the effective thing to be able to deal with Yisurim, and if the Eved should take it away, is Shikosa Umivirach. So the Gemara tells more about this topic, given that a bathroom is considered a dangerous place because mazikim hang out over there. So the Gemara says, Abaya mirabule ime imra. Abaya's mother, and it's actually not his mother, the Gemara points out in Kiddushin that his mother passed away in childbirth. It's actually throughout Shas, whenever it mentions Abaya's mother, it always means his foster mother, the woman who raised him. Anyway, so she raised for him a sheep, to accompany him into the bathroom, so this way he wouldn't be in there all alone, because after all, then he is exposed to danger from Mazikim, but she didn't want to send a person in with him, again, because that's sneistic, so instead she would send a sheep in with him. So they want to ask, why dafka a sheep? Why not instead raise a goat for that purpose? And the answer is sorir, besorir mechlof, because one sorir can be confused with another sorir. Shadim are also called si'ir. You have, for example, in Parshas Achrim, Hashem says they shouldn't sacrifice anymore to demons that they used to before Matan Torah. You have Seirim Yirachu Sham in a Nevuah about the destruction of Babel, that demons, that Shadim will dance over there. So therefore, one Sawyer is easily confused with another Sawyer. In other words, if you bring a goat in there, Abadab, that's more likely to attract the Mazikin because they feel like, so to speak, he's one of their kind. The Gemara continues, Rava mikame dehaber resha, what Rava would do before he became the Rosh Hashiva, mekautishale bas Rav Chista amguza balakna. The daughter of Rav Chista, who was his wife, would rattle a nut. What? She would rattle, mekautishale means she would rattle. Amguza means a nut. Balakna inside a copper cup. So she would put a walnut or something inside the cup and rattle it around, and being copper, it would make a lot of noise, and the point was to scare away Shadim. Maharsha refers to, you have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that talks about the details of, in the, you have a concept that's mentioned here and there throughout Shas, that liquids that were left uncovered are very dangerous to drink because a snake might have drunk some of the liquid and injected venom into it, and therefore it would be dangerous for you to drink. But the Gemara discusses there in Avodah Zarah, if the liquid is if there's a constant drip over there, if there's something constantly dripping into it, then there's no problem because the snake will be scared away by the noise. So the same way over here, so they figured that the shadim and the snakes and scorpions and whatever will be scared away by the noise, and therefore they won't harm Rav. Basar de Moloch, on the other hand, after Rav became Rosh Hashiva, and that's maybe not enough, because the greater a person is, he needs more protection from Mazikim. Rashi refers to that earlier in the Masechta, it said earlier in the Perek, it says that Mazikim are more jealous of great people, of princes, and Tamar Chachamim, more than regular people. So now there's extra danger for him. So from then on, Abdullah Tavsa, she made a window out of the house to the place where he's going to the bathroom, Umanchala Yoda Aresha, and she would put her hand on his head while he's going to the bathroom. She wouldn't go in with him because that wouldn't be tzniyistit, but like this, at least she's present there as much as she possibly could be by having her hand on his head. Tosfos points out, by the way, that this story has a bearing on a story that we had earlier in the Perek. Earlier in the Perek, we had the whole story with Barhedia and the dreams that Abaya and Rava were having. For a while, he was interpreting good for Abaya and bad for Rava, until finally Rava started paying him, etc., etc. So anyway, we had over there that one of the dreams that Rava had was Barhedia told him that your wife is going to pass away. And later on, Rava says, everything I'm willing to be moichel you for, except for the fact that because of you, Basra of Chisto, who was this wife we're talking about, passed away. Now, all of that, now then we have in the story over there that after Rava started paying him, eventually one of the dreams Rava had, Barhedia told him, means you're going to become the next great Rosh Hashiva after Abaya. Abaya is going to pass away and all the Talmidim are going to start coming to you. Yet we see from our Gemara that Basra of Chisto was still alive when Rava became Rosh Hashiva. Therefore, Tosfos says, evidently what it means is that he had a dream that she's going to pass away, and Barhedia told him that, but it actually took some time, she only passed away later, but it was a result of Barhedia's interpretation earlier, which is why Rava held it against him. The Gemara continues, Hahu Safdona de Nochis Kameda of Nachman. There was once a Safdona, as a professional speech maker. You have by Leviathan even nowadays, in the Velt they have a Hesped by Leviathan. So now you have there with professionals who would give speeches like that. The Nochis Kameder of Nahum would give speeches. They would say, sometimes you have in the Gemara and Moed Cotton, you have poems that they would say. The idea was, in order to arouse people's emotions, so people should cry for the mess. Anyway, so the Nochis Kameder of Nachman, he went down to give his speech or his poem or whatever in front of Rav Nachman. Omer, and he says about the Nifter, Hait Sanua Ba'urchois of Haba. You should know that this person was tzniyistic in his ways. Omelet of Nachman said, Rav Nachman tells him, how do you know? At Eilat Labade Labes Akise, did you go in with him to the bathroom? Biyadate it Sanua Eloi, and therefore you'd know whether he's tzniyistic or not? And the point is that you didn't do that, so how could you say that it's theistic? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Ein Koren Sanua, Elamishan Sanua Bevesakisa. The only one who can really be called Sanua is somebody who's theistic in the bathroom. Because in other words, there, nobody is watching him, but the fact that he still acts in a theistic way shows he realizes that Edishtir is watching him even there. Moshe, by the way, mentions, I mean, in Psukim, in Lashon Torah, you can have the word sanua can be used on other things as well. But at least in Lashon Chachamim, which is what we're dealing with over here, Rav Nachman is saying that sanua means that for somebody that's tzniyistik in the Beis HaKis. So the question is, Rav Nachman, my nafkalamine, so why does Rav Gamliel care? Let the Safdon say whatever he wants. Why is Rav Nachman objecting to him that how do you know for a fact? The answer is Mishum Betanya, because we learn in a Braisa. Kishem Shenifroim Min HaMesim, just as Hashem punishes the Mesim for example, for the mitzvahs that they could have done and failed to do, Kach Nifroim Min HaSafdonim Min HaOinim Achareim, the same way Hashem punishes the Safdonim who say exaggerated things about them that they didn't do, as well as the people who answer after them who are like impressed by that where they shouldn't be because not Emes. So therefore, it's important that what you say in the Hesped should match what the person does. Not that it should be something that he didn't have. You have a similar kind of thing, by the way. There's stories of people who had some nusach on their matseva where it was causing them trouble in the olam emes, and then the matseva had to be swapped out, or at least the words had to be chiseled out or something to avoid that. I think this may be the reason, Taka, why Minhag Chabad is not to do Haspedim, because of that concern that you might exaggerate. By the way, in Shulchan Aruch it says, now, what you are allowed to do is you are allowed to exaggerate a little bit. So the Taz asks, I mean, Midvar Sheker Tircha, because Midvar Sheker Tircha, whether it's a little or a lot, what are you allowed to lie, a small lie? So he says, no, because the vote is, if you're exaggerating only a little bit. So let's say, for example, you might talk about the guy had the midah of tzedakah. So you might exaggerate the amount of tzedakah he gave. So the fact is, he didn't give as much as you're saying. But if he had had the opportunity to, he would have. He didn't have enough money, or he didn't have enough opportunities or whatever, so therefore he didn't. It's not like the Davka wouldn't have. So therefore, that's not considered a lie, because you can be going according to what he would have done if he had had the opportunity. So that, yeah, but not to make up things that didn't exist for Klal. So the Gemara continues, Tanan Rabbanan, Ezehu Tzanua, what is a really tzniyistik a person? Zeha Nifne Balayla B'makim Shenifne B'yoy. Somebody who goes to the bathroom at night in the same place where he does by day. Now, meaning by day, if a person has to go to the bathroom, necessarily, again, we're talking about back when going to the bathroom meant going out in the open, then you couldn't do it in the day, you couldn't do it in the middle of the city, there are too many people around. Necessarily, you'd have to go someplace private outside the city or something like that. The same way, when a person acts in that way at night as well, even though there were fewer people around, and he could, for example, just do it in the street because nobody's watching, then that now you know he's a really sneer-sicker person. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara asks, Eini, is that so? A person should always accustom himself to go to the bathroom in the morning and the evening, so that he doesn't need to go far away. Again, because the point is that if he goes before, Rashi says, Shachas means before the sun rises, and Arvis means after it gets dark, then Taka, he doesn't have to go very far away, because then nobody's going to be around, so therefore he can do whatever he wants. The point is, what are you telling me that Tanua nevertheless will go outside the city in a situation like that? If we're saying that's the good reason to go to the bathroom at those times, is so you don't have to go far away. The two, and we have another example, Rabba b'yamama have ozel ad mil, when it was during the daytime and he needed to go to the bathroom, then he would walk even as far as a mil, which is about a kilometer, give or take, to go to the bathroom, to go someplace where nobody would see him. Uvalelia, but if he had to go at night, Uvalelia Shameh, he would tell his Mishoris, Pani Liduchta Berachoy Vedamasa, clear for me a space in the main street of the city. In other words, make sure there's nobody around, but there's not going to be crowds of people. The few people, you can tell them Robin needs to use this area, so please find someplace else. But the point is, in other words, that so Robin himself is not going outside the city by night like he is by day. V'chein amalei Rav Zeira l'shameh. Similarly, Rav Zeira would tell his mishoris, Chozi man de'ika achore beis chavraya. Go look and see if there's anybody behind the house of the chachamim, meaning the pashtus, the pashtus meaning the beis medrash. Because I have to go to the bathroom. So again, we see that they didn't necessarily go outside the city by night as they did by day. So the answer is, you're right. It doesn't mean that you have to go to the same place. It means that you should behave in the same way. The same way as earlier in the Masechta talks about that when a person is going to the bathroom, there's only a certain amount of his body that he should uncover, only the minimum amount to keep anything from getting on his clothes, a tefach in one place, a two tefachim in another place. The same way you should do by night, even though nobody's around to see him. And then you have a similar vein. And nowadays, when you have bathrooms, you have the similar concept that nobody's watching, but nevertheless, the person still acts in a tzniyistik way. Rav Ashi, Amar Filo Tema B'Mokrim. Rav Ashi says, no, it could actually mean the place. Lo Nitzrucha Elul Keren Zobis. What it means, though, is, for example, that if there's a corner, if you have, instead of in the suite, if there's an available corner, like an available side corner where you can go in more privacy, where fewer people are going to be going, then you should do that rather than doing it in the street. So in Robbers and Rav Zeira's case, there was no Keren Zobis, therefore they had no choice but to use the street. But what the Braisa is saying is when you have an option of a Keren Zobis, so at least you should be using that by night. Even by day, such a place is conceivably a place that you could use, so therefore you should use such a place by night also. The Gemara says Gufa, getting back to what we said before, Amr of Yehuda Amr Rav, La'olam Yanik Adam Atzme Shachas Fa'aris, Yedeshle Yetzarach Le'Yisrachak. A person should always accustom himself, we said, to go to the bathroom in the morning and the evening so that he doesn't have to go too far. Kanyin Amiyachi, and we learn similarly in the Braisa. Ben Azay, Hashkin Vetzay, Ben Azay says you should get up early in the morning and go out to go to the bathroom. Harid Vetzay, and then in the evening stay up a little late and go to the bathroom. Kadeshla, distracted again so you don't have to go too far away. Also, Ben Azay continues, Mashmesh Vetzay. Also, what you should do is Mashmesh, which literally means to massage or to rub, and then sit down. So it actually gives two explanations. One is that means that before a person is going to the bathroom, before a person is doing the dolim, he uses a little pebble or a little chip of wood or something to rub around the area over there, around the Piyat Habas, in order to get things going. Sometimes, yeah, I mean, a person is a little bit stocked up, so you use a little bit of that to prime things. So then the idea is the person should be first doing that and only then sitting down. And it's more tzniistic that way, rather than valtation, which is mashmish, rather than sitting down and then doing that. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation is that to mashmish means to wipe off the seat. So wipe it off before you sit down, rather than sit down first. Rashi says, the Gemara is going to tell us that otherwise a person is susceptible to kshofim, is susceptible to black magic. Rashi says, never mind that. He's also susceptible to dirty clothes then, because by the time he sits down and he didn't wipe off the seat first, then he's going to be filthy. So therefore, Rashi prefers the first option. But as it continues, Shekola Yoshiva Mamashmish, if a person first sits and then is Mamashmish and then does this massaging around the area, Afilo Oisin Shopin Baspamia, then even if there's somebody doing black magic against him in Aspamia, which is Spain, which is thousands of miles away from Eretz Yisrael, Boin Olav, still that Kishuf will be able to have an effect on him because he's acting improperly in the bathroom. By the way, there's also a Gemara in Shabbos that mentions that one time there were a couple of the Chachamim, it says, were on a boat, and a Goyish lady tried to do Kishuf against them to make the boat stop, maybe she liked to hold them hostage or something, who knows what. Anyway, they were able to release the boat and make it continue going, and she says, you know what, I realize I have my Kishuf has no power about you, over you, and she mentions a couple of things that she knows that they do, one of them being that there is a certain practice that Gemara mentions in Shabbos over there about certain things that you're supposed to use or not supposed to use for wiping, that they're careful about that. So we see that there's a connection. The Pashtus, the connection is, since we're saying that Shadim tend to hang out in bathrooms, like we said before, the Pashtus, the connection is that one type of Kishuf is done with Shadim, so therefore when a person acts in an unsneistic way in the bathroom, and he said the Shadim are then more provoked to harm him, so instead, if somebody is doing Kishuf using those Shadim, then they're more likely to do that. Okay, the Gemara asks, the inchi Yosef v'achakach mishmish. So what happens if a person forgets and sits down and then is mimashmish? My takante, what should he do to fix up the situation? So the answer is, kikoi, when he gets up, when he finishes using the bathroom, leimahach, he should say the following lachash, the following spell against kishur. Loili, loili, not for me, not for me. Loi tachim v'loi tachtim, not the tachim or not the tachtim. Rashi says these are the kinds of kishuf that are done involving people going to the bathroom. The pashas they're related to the word tachas or whatever. Loi hani v'loi mehani, not these and not from these. Or another explanation, Rashi says loi hani, not these, v'loi mahani, and it shouldn't be effective. Loi choshi de charsha, v'loi choshi de charshasa, neither the kishuf of a male witch, nor the kishuf of a female witch, none of that should have any effect on you. But next time, you should be more careful. Okay, the Gemara continues, since we're doing advice from Ben Azai, so the Gemara brings more advice from him, Tanya. Ben Azai Omer, al kol mishkav shchav chutz min hakarka, sleep on any kind of place to sleep, except for on the bare ground. Before Shem asks, by the way, what about in Pirkei Avos, it says, v'al aretz tishan, that the way to learn Torah is to sleep on the ground. So one answer is that there it's talking about a person sleeps in his clothes on the ground, clothes or pajamas or what have you. Here we're talking about a person sleeping on the ground without clothes, as they often used to in the time of the Gemara. So Ben Azai is saying that's bad. And he says, I'll call Moshe Shev Chutz Min HaKoda. Also, be willing to sit on any kind of seat except for a beam. The idea being that you may fall off and hurt yourself. The Gemara continues with more health advice in this connection. Amar Shmuel, Shena ba'Amar HaShachar, Shena at Amar HaShachar. Now Shena can mean sleeping, and that's how Maharsha understands it, that it means. If a person is sleeping at Alos HaShachar, then it's a good thing for the body, as he's going to go on to say. A footnote over here brings from the Aruch that no, it actually means urinating. The word for urinating in Hebrew is Shesen or Hashtana. You actually have a pasuk that uses the word Sheinehem for it. We actually have a Kriyuk Siv over there, but anyway, the point is that, so therefore Sheina ba'Amar HaShachar can mean urinating at Amar HaShachar. Anyway, it's as effective, it's as good to strengthen the body as steel for iron. So you have an iron tool and you have a steel plating on part of it to make it stronger. So the same way, this shena, whichever it means, sleep or urinating, and amud hashachar is very good for the body. Now, Maharsha brings actually also from the Aruch that says, now, on the other hand, you have a mission in Pirkei Avos that says Shena Shel Shachris, that sleeping in the morning is one of the things that Metziyan Mesa'adim in Olam, it takes a person out of the world. So the vote would be, in other words, that a person shouldn't get used to it, but if he sleeps, to sleep late in the morning, because he needs to get up to daven and to learn and whatever, but to sleep by Alois HaShachar, that would be fine. And that's what Gemara is saying over here. Not only it's fine, it's very good. Yitzia ba'amud hashachar, and going out, meaning to go to the bathroom, and amud hashachar is also, ki'istam ala parizula, is also as good as steel for iron. Again, it helps strengthen your body. So the Gemara continues, ba'kapora, also with advice in this topic, ba'kapora have mizbin mili b'dinu. Ba'kapora used to sell words of chokhmah for dinner. So it can mean exactly what it sounds like, that he would actually charge people to hear his Divrei Chochmah. The point is, we know the Gemara talks about elsewhere, you're not allowed to charge for teaching Divrei Torah. So now, but he's not, these are not Divrei Torah. I mean, eventually, now that they're in the Gemara, they become Divrei Torah, of course. But when he was saying them, they were Divrei Chochmah, and therefore he was allowed to take a fee for that. That's one explanation. Another explanation, though, is it means he would teach them to people only if he knew that they were going to value them as much as they would value gold dinner. So he wouldn't just give away his chokhmah to anybody, only to people he knew are going to really appreciate it for what it is. So he would say, ad dekafnas echol, when you're hungry is the time to eat, because Rashi explains, if you wait, then you may lose your appetite, and then the food is not going to be as effective for you. Anaf Yosef brings over here another point, which I think is from the Aruch, it's brought from the Gaonim, that it also means that what happens if you don't eat when you have an appetite, you wait till later, then you're going to be weaker, and now you're not going to be able to eat as much, so therefore it's not going to do you as much good. Ad tzochis shossi, and when you're thirsty, you should drink. Same idea, in other words, because otherwise it won't do you as much good later on. I mean, these also have meanings in avoda. It means, for example, when you're hungry for Torah, grab the opportunity right away. Don't say, you know, like it says in Pirkei Avos, l'ksha efne eshne, when I have time, I'll learn Torah. And the same thing, when you're thirsty and you have a desire for a mitzvah, then run to do it rather than saying, I'll leave it for later. He continues, ad ros pakidroch, When your pot is boiling, shpoich, then pour it out, which means when you have to go to the bathroom, then go right away. So in other words, the same way as the pot, when it's boiling hot, pour it out right away before it cools off. The same way, when you feel the need to go to the bathroom, go as soon as possible after that. It also, in avoda, it also means, Anaf Yosef brings, that it means, yeah, this is all from the Oral. That it means that, for example, when you have food cooking in a pot, if you leave it in there too long, it's just going to boil over and then you're wasting some of it. The same way, when you have money that you can give to the poor people, give it right away to tzedakah rather than saying later. Otherwise, that money may be lost and you won't have the opportunity to do the mitzvah after all. And he says another of his divrei chokhmah, when you hear the horn blowing in the city of Rome, then you should know it's giving the following piece of news. Bar Mazgin Teini, the son of the fig seller, Teini da Avich Zabin, sell your father's figs. In other words, the horn is blowing as a simon that it's time to be, that it's now time. Anybody who wants to buy figs, now the market for figs is open. So therefore, if you yourself are not the one who sells figs, your father is the one who sells them, but you go hurry up and start selling them. Don't wait for your father to show up and open the store, because otherwise you'll lose your opportunity. And the nimshal of it being, in other words, that even if you yourself haven't learned much Torah yet, you're only a son. You're not yet the actual seller of the figs. Torah is compared to figs. Nevertheless, go teach whatever you can. And you have the famous expression that the Rebbeim would say, that even if you only know Aleph, then teach somebody else who doesn't even know that. So another explanation of it, the Oruch, I think, brings an explanation that it means also that it's also saying that they're announcing in Rome, if your father sold figs, then you should also be selling figs, meaning in general, a person should stick to the kind of occupation that his ancestors did rather than trying to branch out into something new where he may not have any experience. Elsewhere, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that same point. It derives it from Sukkim. We find over there that Chiram, the craftsman who made the Kalim of the Bais Mikdash for Shlomo HaMelech, his father was also a craftsman. So we see that a person that he stuck to his father's umus. The Gemara continues. Abaya says to the Chachamim, the members of his yeshiva, when you go, when you walk down the pathways, the side streets of Mechuzah to go out to the field, to go to the bathroom, don't look in either direction while you're walking down the street. Duma Yasvi Noshi, because there may be women sitting over there going to the bathroom. Balab Urachharali Stakobahu, and it wouldn't be Derecheristic or Mixniistic to look at them while they're sitting and then doing their tzrach. So the Gemara continues in this connection, still on the topic of proper behavior in the Besakise. Rab Safra al Besakise, Rab Safra one time went into the bathroom, Osirab Abba Nochole above. Rab Abba came and made a noise, nochar, can mean like coughing or making some kind of noise to alert Rab Safra that he's there by the door. Omalei leomar, and Rab Safra tells him, come on in. Bosa de Nofik, after he went out, Omalei, he says to him, so Rashi explains, Rab Abba says to Rab Safra, why'd you tell me to come in? Ad hashdalai, I was the sir. Look at this, you haven't, to the seir. Look at this, you haven't even come yet to seir. Seir is the land of Esau, the land of Edom. The Romans are always, we always talk about that the Romans are descended from Edom. So you are from Babel, but you haven't really come into the land of the Romans yet. The Gamris, Lach, Mili, the Seir, and already you've learned the type of behavior that the people of Seir do, that they're not sneistic in the bathroom. As opposed to earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara points out that the Persians, on the other hand, who ruled over Babel in those days, were known to be very sneistic in their bathroom behavior. Sort of Abba is telling Rab Safra, why'd you tell me to come in when you're already there? We said before, you shouldn't have two people in the bathroom together. And he says, Lav Hochitznan, what? Yeah, he says, Lab Hochitznan, didn't we learn in a Mishnah in Tumid that says, it describes the four chambers that were in the corners of you had the Beis HaMoked over there, one of the large chambers in the Beis HaMikdash, and there were four small chambers in the corner of it. One of them was, it says, led down to a stairwell where there was a mikveh for the Kohenim of King Tomei while they were on duty. And it says, Madura Hoysasham, there was a fire over there burning so the Kohenim could warm themselves up after traveling. Beis HaKisesh are covered. There was also a Beis HaKiseh of honor. Before Shem explained over there, the idea being, that since before a person tovels, they're supposed to go to the bathroom. Otherwise, when they go to the bathroom afterwards, then whatever it is they had in there they were carrying inside is going to be the tamei them again. So there was a basic case of covered. There's zehoyek kvoda, and the covered of this bathroom was motzei nol biyadush yeshamodem. If you found it locked, then you knew there was somebody inside, and you wouldn't go in. Motzei pasuach, and if you find it open biyadush yeshamodem, then you know nobody's there. So the point is, the kavadika thing is that only one person should be in there at a time. Alma lav oirach arahu. So we see it's not derech eretzik to allow somebody else in while you're there. So he's saying, to Rab Safra, why'd you tell me to come in? Marsha discusses, actually, both here and in Talmud, discusses a few nuances in this. First of all, he says it could be another way of understanding it is that it's Rab Safra criticizing Rab Abba. Why are you even coughing? If you saw the doors closed, you should have realized that somebody's in there, and what are you even making a noise to, as if to ask permission to come in when you realized already that I was in? And another point he says is when he says that you haven't yet come to Seir, he says, we learned before that a Seir also means a goat and is also a name for Shadim. So he's also hinting to him like you're putting yourself in a situation where there can be Shadim around because you're not acting theistic in the bathroom. So why do you do that? So the Gemara says, but who's Savam is Sukkim? Now he, meaning Rab Safro, meaning Rab Abba, however you understand the different aspects of the story, thought he might be in danger if he doesn't go to the bathroom right away. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Rab Shimon Am the Olam Omur Da Chozer, maybe it's the Adam the day he's Roikan. If a person holds back when they have to do Gedolim, then it can lead a person to his Roikan, which is a disease where his stomach swells up. In older medicalese, they call it dropsy. Nowadays, they call it edema, where the person's body retains much more water than it should. But it's caused by when a person holds himself back, when a person is about to start going and making gedolim, and then he pulls it back into his body, then that can cause that. Filin achozer, and if a person has to pull back a stream of urine, maybe it's ultimately day yerok, and then it can bring a person to get the disease jaundice. So therefore, Rab Safra, now when he heard Rab Abba making a noise out there, he thought that maybe Rab Abba is in this situation, and therefore he better let him in right away. But Rab Abba was telling him that's not right. It's still not the right thing to do. Okay, so we continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. Yom Yom Mashiach Geula. What is today? Zayin Shvat. Rambam writes that Melech Mashiach is going to be from the dynasty of David and from the descendants of Shlomo. Now, why do we need both? So the fact that he's from the dynasty of David, because that's the main thing of Malchus. We know, as Rambam himself writes, once David was anointed, then he was Zoyche in the crown of kingship for himself and his generation and his descendants forever. Why does he have to be from the descendants of Shlomo, the Pnimiyas Inyanim, is because in Shlomo's times, you had a Me'ein of the Gola, Amitzvah Shlomo. There was total peace, which is why he's called Shlomo. And why is that? That's a foretaste of Yemos HaMashiach. And why was there that peace? Because Shlomo had the ultimate degree of Chochmah, Vayecham Mikol Adam, which means that with that Koyach, all the Chochmahs of the Goyim were Nisbatol Be'etzim, were essentially bottled to Shlomo's Chochmah, so there didn't even need to be war for that. So that is a Me'ein of the complete Shalom that will be La'asid Lavoi, and therefore that's also relevant to the ultimate Malchus that Mashiach is going to have. Therefore he has to be a descendant of Shlomo. Continuing on halachos of brachas achronos, so you have a noivos, which is fruit that got burnt by the sun and fell off the tree before it was completely ripe. So since it's something that was wound, then you get downgraded the bracha and you only make shakol. Same thing. For example, if you have, let's say, food that's spoiling, then also you would say shakol on it. If it's completely spoiled and it's not even roi lachila, then you wouldn't make a bracha at all. The same thing. For example, vinegar, if it's so strong that it bubbles when you pour it on the ground and you drink it, you wouldn't make a bracha. But if you mix it with water and it's ready to drink, then you would say shakol on it. The pashtus, for example, pickle juice is not that strong. So for example, the pashtus, if you drink pickle juice, you would make shakol on it.